This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, January 9th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. As you know, we'll go right to the NFL playoffs and the borderline miracle in Denver yesterday as Denver shocks the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, it was at home, but I don't think anyone thought Denver could really move the ball and score points on the vaunted Steeler defense, but that was not the case. Denver 29, Steelers 23. I certainly was one who didn't think Denver could score. We did talk about the fact that maybe Denver would have to throw the ball earlier, first down, second down, and that's exactly what Tim Tebow did. He had 316 yards on 10 completions, but he took his shots down the field, which is what he had to do. You know the new rules in overtime, shockingly, the Steelers playing run all the way, play action, a brilliant call, first down pass to Demaryius Thomas across the middle, no safety help, 80-yard TD in overtime, and you know those new rules, I know they're trying to do something. I understand we don't want the cheap field goal, but if you score a touchdown, I mean, that's just bizarre to me. If Denver goes down and kicks a field goal, the Steelers get the ball in overtime, but if Denver goes down and scores a touchdown, which of course is what they did, then that's good enough to make it sudden death and it's over. That's a little intellectually bizarre to wrap your head around, but those are the rules. Everybody knew them going in. Denver 29, Pittsburgh 23. Again, Tim Tebow 10 for 21, but 316 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Tebow's been turning the ball over of late. Did not do it yesterday. Had a number of shots down the field. Again, the star of the game to me, Demaryius Thomas. Four receptions, 201 yards, and that 80-yard touchdown. So that means, of course, he had three for 121 before that. Nothing bad about that. But Thomas, the star of the game to me. Big Ben gave it a shot, played fairly well, hurt his ankle again in the middle of the game, was hobbled in the second half, gave it his all. To Pittsburgh's credit, they came back to tie the game. But there were a couple of bizarre plays. You know, I don't know if they can look at the replay rule again or not, but you probably saw in the third quarter that definite backwards pass lateral that Roethlisberger threw out. That was clearly a lateral, a fumble. Denver recovered, but because it was called an incomplete pass, then there was no way it could be challenged or reviewed. So Pittsburgh was fortunate, I think, to even be in the game because after that non-call, and again, I mean, this is the problem with the replay rule. If that had been called a lateral and a fumble, it could be reviewed. If it's called an incomplete pass, it can't be reviewed. I'll take you back to that Detroit game a couple weeks ago where the Lions scored what looked like a touchdown, and Jim Schwartz had already used up his two challenges. It was ruled to be incomplete because the receiver was out of bounds. So because it was ruled incomplete and Detroit had no more challenges, couldn't be reviewed. However, had it been ruled a touchdown, it would have been reviewed because every touchdown play is reviewed. But a non-touchdown play in the end zone, like a catch where a guy steps on the line, that can't be reviewed. Now, again, in that particular situation, that's because Schwartz was out of challenges. In this particular situation, John Fox actually had a challenge and wanted to challenge it. It clearly was a lateral. You know, you talk about, I don't think the refs are worse than they were in the past, but now the replay rule is in effect. You've got 12 cameras there. Everything's in super-duper slow motion. But that particular pass that Roethlisberger threw absolutely backwards was clear to anybody watching. As soon as he threw it, you knew it was going backwards. But somehow the ref called it an incomplete forward pass, and because of that, it couldn't be reviewed. It did not affect the final score, it did affect the game because then Pittsburgh drove down the field, cut the lead to 7. Then after Willis McGahee fumbles in the fourth quarter, Ben drives him down again, throws a 31-yard strike to Jericho Cotchery, who made a phenomenal catch. You know, everybody was talking about Roethlisberger escaping in the pocket with a bad ankle, and they're right. But he threw a laser 30 yards to Cotchery, and Cotchery got his hands up, caught it, juggled it, caught it again, and got hammered in the end zone and still held on to it. You know, we talk about the Jets a lot here. I'm a New York guy. We talk about the Jets a lot, and Cotchery is one of the guys they lost who is, A, a very good football player, and, B, is a better influence in the locker room. That's more a Jet problem than a Steeler problem. They got lots of leaders in the Steeler locker room. But the number one defense had no Ryan Clark because of the altitude problem. He couldn't play. But Tim Tebow threw 4 of the 6 longest pass plays that the Pittsburgh defense, ranked number one in the NFL, had given up all year. Again, that is a stunning, stunning number. Now, they showed you, if you were watching the game, which I'm sure most of you were, they showed you the play where Denver would run an in-cut and Polamalu tried to jump it, but instead the guy went deep and Tebow hit him. They were obviously playing on the tendencies of Polamalu, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, no doubt, but a big gambler. And he gambled on that one, and he lost. Then they showed you the very last play of the game, of course, where Ike Taylor, who wouldn't even talk to the media after the game, essentially had Thomas one-on-one because everybody came up to the line of scrimmage to stop the run. So you literally had 11 guys 4 yards from the line of scrimmage. You had no safety help over the middle. Again, if you watch the play, it almost looked like Ike Taylor did expect some help on the inside. Otherwise, he wouldn't have played to the outside of Thomas. But Thomas runs a simple skinny post, gets hit, runs 80 yards. Good stiff arm on Taylor at midfield. You know, it was like a 15, 20-yard pass, and the guy ran another 60. But a stunning victory for the Broncos. You know, John Elway's getting some credit, I guess deservedly so. He certainly did not believe in Tim Tebow at the beginning, nor did John Fox. But now after that performance, and again, only 10 for 21, but 316 yards, 31.6 yards per completion. I think someone said, I think the stat is it's the third greatest of all time. 2 TDs, just as important, no picks, because he has been fumbling or turning or throwing interceptions the last month or so. And interesting to me, Eric Decker, his favorite receiver, was out of the game early in the game, I think early in the second quarter. So he did it without Decker. Thomas, 4 for 201 in a touchdown. Eddie Royal, 3 for 49 in a big touchdown catch down the sideline. Even Daniel Fells, the tight end, 2 catches for 57 yards. So within the context of 10 completions, Tim Tebow spread it around a little. Willis McGahee, 19 rushes for 61 yards. Tebow, 10 for 50. You know, they try to put a beating on him, and it doesn't seem to matter. He's big enough and strong enough to take that punishment. He's not a little Michael Vick. And I understand Vick's a little different kind of player. But Tebow can take that punishment, has taken that punishment, and he leads the Broncos to a 29-23 victory, home victory, but I think still a stunning victory. The fact that the Broncos could put up 29 on the Steelers is still amazing to me after watching it. The Steelers, you know, you thought they'd be hurt by losing Mendenhall, but Redmond had 17 rushes for 121 yards. He played very well. Roethlisberger, 22 for 40 for 289, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Sanders, 6 catches for 81. Antonio Brown, 5 for 70. Heath Miller, 5 for 60. The Steelers played well enough to win. If you were told before the game the Steelers would score 23, I think you'd be going, well, then they won, you know, 23-10, 23-7, 23-13. But give the Broncos credit. They're riding this horse. And, of course, I probably think it's going to end next week. You know, the Patriots manhandled Denver in Denver a few weeks ago. And I think the Patriots, frankly, are breathing a sigh of relief. They're not going to come out publicly and say it, but you got to think they'd rather play the Broncos than the Steelers. But, hey, you never know. You know, Tim Tebow does it again, and again, he gets a lot of credit. The Broncos defense played well, but they didn't win because of the Broncos' defense. They talk about all the other things besides Tim Tebow during that six-game winning streak that they had. But this, to me, was about Tim Tebow listening to John Elway, who said, go ahead and pull the trigger. This is about Tim Tebow pulling the trigger, and that's exactly what he did. An amazing game. Denver 29, Steelers 23. Steelers done for the year. And Denver goes on to play New Orleans next weekend. We'll talk about those games, of course, during the week. Want to get to the other game yesterday? Certainly I like the Giants, and they turned it into a non-contest. Atlanta, they've got their issues now. You know, Matty Ryan 0-3 in the playoffs. They're a good team. You thought this was going to be a close game. I think the Giants were a three-point favorite, which means essentially the game was even, and you give the Giants 3 points because they're at home. But it didn't turn out to be like that at all. Giants 24, Atlanta 2. Not a whole lot happening early in the game. Mike Smith could have put some points on the ball board early, or at least could have tried. Atlanta had 4th and inches from the Giant 30. They decide to go for it. Ryan tries the quarterback sneak. No good. The Giants' defense, again, healthy now. This is the key for the Giants. Their front four is healthy. All those guys are back. O.C. Umenyora. Justin Tuck is healthy. They've got a really, really good front four, even front seven. Boley's played much better lately. Jason Pierre-Paul's been unbelievable all year. So Atlanta gets on the board when Eli Manning drops back to pass, doesn't step up in the pocket, decides to try and avoid a tackler, but goes into the end zone, and as he's about to get tackled, throws the ball away, but he's called for intentional grounding. Of course, if you do that in the end zone, it's a safety. So Atlanta did go ahead 2-0, but after that, it was all Giants. They had their running game going. Jacobs went for 34 yards, and then on a 4th and 1, the Giants driving 4th and 1 from the 6. Coughlin decides to go to it, and they've had no success this year going for it on 4th and 1. But they give the ball to Jacobs, who gets hit initially and then spins out of it to get the first down, a big play in the game. Yeah, I understand it was only a yard, but that's a big play if you watch the Giants all year. Then Eli throws a 4-yard touchdown pass to Hakeem Nicks, 7-2. And then the Giants, Eli moved the ball down the field again. 3rd and 12, 22 yards to Cruz. Ahmad Bradshaw, the other half, you know, Thunder and Lightning is healthy again. Bradshaw and Jacobs, he runs 30 yards to the 5. Giants have to settle for a field goal, but they go again. They go ahead 10-2. Then again, Atlanta has 4th and 1 on the Giant 20. They don't want to cut the lead to 5. They want to take a shot, I guess, to either tie or come within 1. They have Ryan sneak again. Again, he stopped. This time, Michael Turner was on the bench, and he looked very unhappy. Very unhappy. Turner only had 41 yards rushing. Again, hard to run on the Giants when they're healthy. And then with a 3rd and 3, Eli hits Hakeem Nicks over the middle, wide open. He splits two guys and runs 72 yards for a touchdown. An amazing play by Nicks. And that essentially was the clincher, put him up 17-2. And then in the 4th quarter, not to rub it in, but just to put the game out of reach, 3rd and 17. Eli throws to Bradshaw out of the backfield for 19. Then Eli throws to Manningham over the middle for a 27-yard touchdown catch. Great catch, great throw, 24-2. The key to the Giants' success offensively, because they were not successful early on, is they got their running game going. They wind up rushing 31 times for 172 yards. And again, if you follow the Giants, you know they're the last in the NFL in rushing yardage per game with 89 going into the game. They just about doubled that. Jacobs, 14 rushes for 92 yards. Bradshaw, 14 rushes for 63 yards. Manning, a great game, 23 for 32, 277 yards and 3 touchdowns. We talked about Manning all year. He has never been an elite quarterback before this year. He played like an elite quarterback this year. He was mocked at the beginning of the year for saying he was an elite quarterback, but he did play like one this year right up till yesterday. And look at the last 3 games the Giants have had. A battle against the Big Mouth Jets. Beat them easily. A battle against the Dallas Cowboys for the division. Beat them easily. a battle for the Giants against the Falcons in the playoffs, a home game for the Giants. They were fortunate to get a home game at 9-7. Those are the rules. They beat the Falcons easily. So, yeah, there are a lot of analogies to their Super Bowl run in 2007, and now they go play the Packers. We'll talk about that during the week. The Packers don't have Brett Favre to throw stupid interceptions. But the Giants are playing at the top of their game now. And again, to me, it's all about the health of the Giants. Their front four is healthy. They can rush the quarterback. All the wide receivers, you know, Atlanta went out of their way to take Victor Cruz out of the game. And they did. And it still didn't matter. We'll talk a little bit more about this game and the other two games from Saturday. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford. Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show, wrapping up the Falcons at the Giants. Giants 24, Falcons 2. Matt Ryan, 24 for 41, 199 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, obviously very low average per catch. Turner, nothing in the rushing game, 15 for 41 yards. Julio Jones, 7 receptions for 64. Roddy White, 5 for 52. That's pretty much holding those guys in check. Tony Gonzalez, the great tight end, 4 catches for 44 yards. Just a dominating performance all around by the defense the whole game, by the offense in the second half. Manning, we said, 23 for 32, 277, 3 touchdowns. Hakeem Nicks, 6 receptions for 115 yards and 2 TDs. Manningham, 4 for 68 and a touchdown. Cruz, only 2 for 28, but this is how good Victor Cruz has become. They decided to take him out of the game. And for the Giants, that really doesn't matter. Nicks is a very big-time receiver. Manningham, an excellent receiver. They have a lot of weapons. The Giants getting hot at the right time. We'll talk about the games at the end of the week. I don't know that they can beat the Packers, but certainly everyone in New York is analogizing this to them beating the Packers. And Brett Favre, when Favre threw that terrible interception in overtime, the people I talk to, I tell them, yeah, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the crazy interceptions that Brett Favre threw. I think they're different quarterbacks. I think at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers will be viewed to be a better quarterback than Brett Favre because he's Favre without the turnovers. But we'll just have to see. That's for later in the week. Giants 24, Falcons 2. Giants move on. Quickly, just a couple of things on the Saturday games. Bengals go into Houston, Texans 31, Bengals 10. I thought the key to the game, and I certainly thought the Bengals could win this game, I thought the key because it was, frankly, Andy Dalton against T.J. Yates, but T.J. Yates pretty much won that battle by staying turnover-free. Dalton threw 3 interceptions. But I thought the 2 key plays of the game, and if you watched the game, you had the same feeling at the same time, that J.J. Watt made an incredible interception for the Texans on the Dalton pass. 99 out of 100 times, maybe 999 times out of 1,000, the big lineman coming in puts his hands up and blocks the ball. You know, once in a while it's tipped and someone else picks it off. But J.J. Watt somehow miraculously caught the ball and ran it back for a touchdown. I mean, it really was an amazing play by Watt. And, of course, it turns out, and maybe you knew this, I did not, that he played tight end for Central Michigan. So, again, now you're not shocked that he has the hands to catch that ball, but it was shocking to me that on that particular pass, which looked like a Dalton laser, that not only was Watt able to stop it, he was able to catch it and run it in for a touchdown. Then a few minutes later, you probably saw Chris Crocker, a Bengals DB now, has a chance to pick off a Yates pass. I mean, it hit him right in the hands. And I don't know if he could have gone for a touchdown. He might have been able to go for a touchdown. I'm not sure. But that could have turned the game around. And then after he dropped that ball, Houston went down and scored, and that essentially was the end of the game. 17-10 Texans at the half, 24-10 after 3, 31-10 final. I thought it really was a closer game than the score indicated, frankly, but that's irrelevant. It was all Houston. A lot of people thought their defense would shut down the Bengals, and that's what they did. Dalton, 27 for 42 for 257, but no touchdowns and 3 picks. That, of course, the key stat in the game, more and more. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Yates, mistake-free, 11 for 20 for 159 yards and one touchdown. Arian Foster was unbelievable in the running game, 24 rushes for 153 yards and two touchdowns. Tate, even 9 for 37. Andre Johnson, 5 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown for the Texans. Foster out of the backfield, 3 for 29. Daniels, 2 for 29. Give the Texans a lot of credit. They're a good team with a real good defense who's playing with their third-string quarterback who played pretty well yesterday, or Saturday, I should say. Dalton, again, I thought it was a battle of the rookie quarterbacks, but Yates won the battle, no interceptions. Dalton, 3 interceptions. After that, to me, the completions, the attempts, the yards, doesn't really matter. And Yates did throw a TD pass to Andre Johnson, and Dalton didn't throw any. So the Texans at home beat the Bengals 31-10. The other game, an interesting game. I thought New Orleans was going to slaughter the Lions, and if you were watching that game, that was a real game. Lions up 7-0, Lions up 14-10. Then the Saints made some adjustments at the half, and it was scary in the second half. The Saints looked like what you thought they were going to be the whole game at home. They're just unbelievable at home. Saints come back and score 35 in the second half. And they wind up beating the Lions 45-28, taking a knee near the goal line to end the game. Could have been 52 if they had one of those. Let's pile it on, coaches. Saints 45, Lions 28. Again, what can you say about Drew Brees? 33 for 43, 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Whereas Stafford puts up good numbers, 28 for 43, 380 yards, 3 touchdowns, great numbers, but 2 interceptions. And that really is the game. But again, the Saints down 14-10 at the half, struggling, come out and score 35 in the second half. Unbelievable. Colston, 7 receptions for 120 yards. Meacham, 4 receptions for 111 yards and a touchdown. Graham, 7 receptions for 55 yards and a touchdown. Even Henderson, 2 receptions, 64 yards and a touchdown. Brees, as usual, spreads it around. Thomas, 8 rushes for 66 yards and a touchdown. Darren Sproles, an unbelievable pickup. 10 rushes for 51 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ivory, 13 rushes for 47 yards, like a three-headed monster for the Saints. The question, of course, for the Saints is, can they do it on the road? They've been a much different team at home than on the road. Again, Stafford's numbers were good, 2 interceptions. However, Calvin Johnson was unbelievable, 12 receptions, 211 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Stafford to Calvin Johnson, going to be a dangerous duo for a long time. Burleson, 4 receptions for 50 yards. Pettigrew, 4 for 49. Absolutely nothing in the rushing game, though, for the Lions. Smith, 6 for 21. That was really it. So give New Orleans credit. They did what they were supposed to do. The 3 home teams, actually 4 home teams won. I somehow keep thinking Denver should have been on the road at 8-8. Of course, that's not the rules. So all 4 home teams win. The Saints crushed the Lions 45-28. Now that sets up the final 8, the final 4 in each conference. In the AFC, Denver goes up to New England. That's Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Of course, the Patriots just buried Denver in Denver a few weeks ago, 41-23. And the Steelers, who were banged up, I don't think that's why they lost. I think they were able to play into the tendencies of the Steelers and cross them up enough early, first down, second down, to get the job done. The Patriots, not as good defensively as the Steelers, but I don't think they'll allow any of those long plays. They'll make the Broncos run the ball and or throw short passes. They're not the gambling defense. They're not good enough to be the gambling defense that the Steelers were, although the gambling cost the Steelers yesterday. So the Broncos at the Patriots, Saturday at 8 o'clock, that's one AFC game. Texans at the Ravens, Sunday at 1 o'clock. Interesting game. Again, we'll talk more about these games during the week. In the NFC, New Orleans goes out to San Francisco to play the 49ers. That's Saturday at 4:30. And then, of course, the Giants at Green Bay. That's Sunday at 4:30. You know, they say Saturday night isn't usually a TV night, but Broncos at Patriots, you got to figure that's going to be a huge ratings game. The Sunday games always get huge ratings, of course, but Broncos at Patriots will be a huge rating. And the new wild card there, if you haven't heard, over the weekend, well, we'll talk about Bill O'Brien. He was officially named the coach of Penn State, but he's staying with the Patriots as offensive coordinator through the playoff run. But the Patriots have hired Josh McDaniels. He's actually going to come to work for the Patriots today. And the interesting thing there, McDaniels is going to be the new offensive coordinator at the end of the playoffs after O'Brien goes to Penn State. But the interesting thing here is, and you probably know this, 2 years ago, Josh McDaniels was the heralded young coach of the Denver Broncos. Didn't go so well for him there. Got fired, was the offensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams this year. But he was there. He was the coach when the Broncos drafted Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas. So he could probably give the Patriots even more good perspective. Not that Belichick needs help, but McDaniels would be a guy who could come in and I think give them some insight into Tebow and Demaryius Thomas. And that's an interesting wrinkle in the whole Broncos at the Patriots this coming week. So again, we'll keep our eyes on that. That should be a pretty big story this week, I would think. We'll see if be interesting to see if Josh McDaniels is allowed to give interviews. Because normally, as you know, Belichick's coaches do not give interviews. But in any event, we'll keep an eye on that this week. That's a very interesting situation. Now, Bill O'Brien was introduced as the new Penn State coach. Again, one of the worst-kept secrets. A lot of people are shocked by the hire. I think you did have to go outside of the Penn State family, given the situation there. If you watched SportsCenter late last night or this morning, you saw a long interview with Jay Paterno, Joe Paterno's son. And, you know, he's bringing up things like Duke Lacrosse and Richard Jewell in Atlanta, both of whom were falsely charged. A lot of people thought there was a rush to judgment, et cetera, et cetera. The difference with Jerry Sandusky, not Joe Paterno, but with Jerry Sandusky is, of course, there is such overwhelming evidence. Is everyone entitled to their day in court? Yes. Are you innocent until proven guilty? Absolutely. But the realities of the court of public opinion, and given the nature of the crimes and the number of kids, I think there were 8 in the original presentment, then it went up to 10. Now, apparently 18 or 20 victims have come forward. But the focus is really in terms of Joe Paterno. Again, what did he know? When did he know it? He's Joe Paterno. Should he have done more? He did. He did the minimum that was required by law. He reported it to his superiors. And, of course, you know, at Happy Valley, nobody thought that the athletic director who played for Paterno was really Paterno's superior. But it was an interesting conversation. According to his son, Joe Paterno wants to tell his story. Don't know what that means. Don't know what his story is going to be. If I'm his lawyer, we discussed this weeks and weeks ago. If I'm his lawyer, Joe Paterno would say nothing. He did say that in retrospect or with hindsight, I wish I had done more. Well, that's a stupid statement to make, even if it's true. And Jay Paterno even tried to wash that off, saying, well, we all wish we had done more. We all wish we had knew more, known more. But that's just trying to put a happy face on a stupid statement that Joe Paterno, again, if you're his lawyer, you don't want him to say that or anything. That's why when your lawyer tells you to shut up, you shut up. But Jay Paterno did make a pitch for all the facts to come out. Jerry Sandusky still says he's innocent. We'll have to see how that shakes out in court. But that's the funny carousel, Bill O'Brien leaving the Patriots to go to Penn State, but not until the Patriots either get knocked out or win the Super Bowl. Of course, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I personally think their road's a little easier now that they get to play Denver and not the Steelers, but we'll see. The Ravens can beat anybody in the AFC. They're probably the most complete team right now. And Josh McDaniel is hired by the Patriots. He'll be the offensive coordinator for next year, but he's going to work today, Monday. And the wrinkle there, of course, is that he coached Denver 2 years ago when they drafted both Tebow and Demaryius Thomas. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Holiday shopping has never been easier thanks to Best Buy and SportsTalkNetwork.com. Free shipping, free store pickup, daily deals, and Best Buy's extended holiday price match and return guarantee now through January 24th are waiting for you by clicking the Best Buy tile on any SportsTalkNetwork.com webpage. Order your gifts online and pick them up in as little as 45 minutes from your local Best Buy. Laptops to desktops, iPods to iPads, TVs, home entertainment systems and appliances, and much more. Visit SportsTalkNetwork.com, click the Best Buy tile, and start your holiday shopping today. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Just one final NFL note. Romeo Crennel was officially made the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. You kind of thought if he wanted it, and that was the question a few weeks ago, if he wanted it, he would have it after they beat the Packers. Kansas City totally responded to Crennel after, I think, turning off Todd Haley, who I thought was a pretty good coach, but he seems to be a guy with a rougher edge, and that doesn't seem the way to be most NFL coaches are going nowadays. So Romeo Crennel gets the job. Again, that's a wacky division. Kansas City goes 2-1. They're three games under Crennel and almost beat the Raiders, but Richard Seymour blocked not one but two field goals. So Crennel officially the coach, of course. That Bill Belichick head coaching tree has not been very good at all. You've probably seen the stats. Eric Mangini did well one season at the Jets, then got fired by the Jets and the Browns. Crennel has already been a head coach, not done very well with the Browns. Charlie Weiss in college started off like a ball of fire, didn't do very well. Now he's going to coach Kansas. So there haven't been a lot of in fact, I don't think there's been any successful coaches come out of the Bill Belichick tree. But Romeo Crennel gets another chance. I think he can do some damage in that division with this team. Obviously, the players wanted him to be the coach. Obviously, they played incredibly hard for him, and he was officially named the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Want to switch now to college football, and obviously tonight, finally, with like a six-and-a-half-week layoff for both teams. LSU, number one, against Alabama, number two, in the Superdome in New Orleans. A lot to go here. Now, I'm one of those guys who really thinks when LSU beats Alabama in Tuscaloosa, yes, in overtime, 9-6 in a defensive struggle, that you'd like to not have the rematch for the championship game because, frankly, if Alabama just beat LSU by a little bit tonight, they should go somewhere next Sunday and play or next Monday and play the rubber match of a three-game set. But, of course, that's not how the system works. Doesn't look like there's going to be a playoff anytime soon. If you put Alabama and LSU in a 4- or 8-team playoff, that would be, I think, more fair. But this is the system as it is. I think LSU and Alabama are the two best teams in the country. I would have liked to seen Oklahoma State get a chance. And, of course, people are going, oh, Oklahoma State, they lost to Iowa State, and Iowa State lost in the Pinstripe Bowl to Rutgers. But people forget the context of that game. That's the week, just two or three days before the Oklahoma State basketball coach and his top assistant were killed in a plane crash that clearly shook up Oklahoma State. Of course, you'll recall, I think it was about 10 or 12 years ago, the Oklahoma State lost a bunch of members of the basketball, a few players and a number of coaches in a plane crash. So, of course, you're even more, if you're in Oklahoma State, even more in tune to that as a family, which all these schools are. So, yes, they did lose to Iowa State on the road, but Iowa State was not a very good team. If Oklahoma State was undefeated, you would think this game would be LSU against Oklahoma State. But we do have the two best teams in the country. Alabama stunning on defense, 11-1. They're only lost to LSU. They gave up less than 10 points in 7 of their 12 games. They lead the nation in least yards allowed. Alabama does, 191 yards per game. They lead the nation in the least number of points allowed per game, 8.8 points. And again, LSU scored 9 in overtime. But it has been a 44-day layoff for Alabama. You know, we talk about this every year. It's just absurd that you play like in Thanksgiving and then you play in January. But it is what it is. That's the system. LSU, and I think you have to like, I like LSU in this game. I liked Alabama in the first game because they were at home, frankly. This is almost a home game for LSU. Don't think they can fill up the stands like because of who gets the tickets for these games. But it's still 80 miles from LSU to the Superdome in New Orleans. LSU already beat Alabama in overtime. LSU is 4-0 in BCS bowl games. They had four wins versus the top 11 teams this year, Alabama, Oregon, Arkansas, and Georgia. Tyrann Mathieu is the most explosive player in the game, only a sophomore. He's an excellent cornerback, excellent tacker, 4-6 fumbles. He's one of the best punt returners in the country, averaged 16.2 yards per punt return, and ran back two for touchdowns. Jordan Jefferson is better now than he was even four games ago. I think the extra 6 weeks will help him as much or more than anyone. Of course, Alabama has Trent Richardson, the great running back. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. LSU against Alabama tonight. For all the marbles, I like the fact that these bowl games aren't against each other. If you remember 10, 20, 30 years ago, all these bowl games were played on January 1st, and you used to have two bowl games going on at once. It was beyond stupid. You had the same stupid 5 or 6 week layoff. And I think they say they want their players to go back for final exams. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But tonight, for all the marbles, the last college game of the year for the national championship, number one LSU against number two Alabama. I'll say it again, though. If Alabama wins a close game, after LSU beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I don't really know how you're going to say with a straight face. And we'll see how the voters and the coaches poll. You know, I think the quality of this game depends a lot to convince the general public and even the football coaches and the football people that Alabama is the best team in the country. They're going to have to do more than beat LSU 9-6. So what will be interesting, although the BCS champion will be Alabama if they beat LSU, you'll have to see in the polls how that shakes out, because there is kind of a general undercurrent of maybe Alabama is not the best team in the country, even if they win this game. But that'll depend, again, on how the game goes, what the score is, does Alabama dominate. Of course, if LSU wins, I think they go down as one of the great teams of all time. They have a fantastic defense themselves. I think their offense has improved. But we'll just have to wait and see, and we'll talk about it tomorrow right here. Switching to the NBA now, a few games yesterday, a few interesting games actually. The Magic in Sacramento to play the Kings. Kings, of course, fired Paul Westphal the other day. But the Magic, the news today is that Dwight Howard continues to want to be traded. There were some reports that he had withdrawn that request, but apparently that is not the case. The Magic have allowed Howard's agent to talk to the Lakers, the Mavericks, and the Nets to see if they could make the best deal, which means it pretty much is the end. You know, we talked about last year how this coming year these guys might all be traded at the trade deadline so you could get something for them, but the Hornets already traded Chris Paul. I don't know if the Magic are going to wait till the trade deadline to trade Dwight Howard. I thought that's when all these guys would be traded, as opposed to the LeBron problem. Wait till the end of the year, pray he comes back, then he doesn't come back, and you get nothing. But yesterday, interesting. Now, the Kings are okay. You know, they've got some good young talent. They're not real good, but to me, they're okay. You know, if Cousins is trying, he's really good. J.J. Hickson's a good player. This Marcus Thornton is now a borderline star. Salmons is a good player. Tyreke Evans, a very good young point guard. But the interesting thing yesterday for Orlando, Magic 104, Kings 97, is this. Dwight Howard gets into bad foul trouble early trying to guard Cousins, who, you know, I think is playing with renewed vigor now. He had his own foul problems. He only played 22 minutes, but he had 16 points, 10 rebounds in 22 minutes against some of it against Dwight Howard. Howard only played 20 minutes. They got each other into foul trouble. But Orlando only getting 20 minutes from Dwight Howard, 5 points and 4 rebounds, and none of them coming till the fourth quarter. They still managed to beat the Kings 104-97 on the road. Again, the Kings are not a good team, but they're not a bad team. And yesterday it's Jason Richardson who steps up, 3-for-6 from three, 22 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. Obviously, Richardson, a good match in Orlando because he can shoot the three, and you're going to get a lot of them with Dwight Howard in the middle. Ryan Anderson, 19 points, 11 rebounds, really picked up the slack. He's a nice player. Turkoglu, 11 points, 4 assists. Again, Howard, only 5 points, 4 assists. Jameer Nelson, only 5 points, 4 assists. The point is Orlando still wins. Baby Davis, Big Baby Davis from the Celtics, now on the Magic, 20 points, 8 rebounds, picks up the slack when Howard can't go. So give Orlando a lot of credit. They're 6-3. They're in the hunt. I don't think they can go with the big boys. It really depends if they decide to keep Howard for the year or not. My guess is they're going to trade him. If not early, then at the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to let the LeBron thing happen, especially since, according to a story today, Howard still wants to be traded. For Sacramento, Tyreek Evans had 28. Cousins, we said, 16 and 10. Hickson, a very good player, underrated, was with the Cavaliers last year, 14 points, 11 rebounds. But that's a very good win, I think, for the Magic on the road, essentially without Dwight Howard, even though obviously he was in the game, essentially without him. Another interesting game now, the Spurs, who have to play without Manu Ginobili, goes to Oklahoma City. But Oklahoma City, too much firepower. I mean, they have a three-guard. They have the best three-guard rotation in the league. It's not just Durant and Westbrook. It's also Harden off the bench, 20 points yesterday. Durant only takes 9 shots. He goes for 21 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Westbrook, who I still think has to grow up, he's the key to that team. Shoots only 5-for-13, 13 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. But Collison off the bench with 12 points, 10 rebounds, another key to that team. They're a good team, Oklahoma City, 108, Spurs 96. No Ginobili, you know, he's gone for another 5 weeks. Neal starts in his place, gets 18 points. Tim Duncan, 11.7 rebounds. But obviously without the big three, I think they're old anyway. I don't think San Antonio can win it all. I just don't believe that. But they need the big three to be a big-time team. And one other thing, in the early part of the back-to-back-to-back, where every team in the league is going to have to play 3 back-to-back-to-back games, you would think the team that's playing the third game would have a lot of trouble in that third game, that they could lose or should lose. Now, a lot of it depends on matchups, I understand that. But so far, in the third game of back-to-back-to-backs in the NBA this season, 6 teams have played them, including Oklahoma City last night, and all 6 have won. Which, to me, is really a shocking stat. Think about that. Back-to-back-to-back games in the third game of back-to-back-to-back in the NBA, the 6 teams who have done it have all won. Again, that's pretty unbelievable to me. One other game that was a little interesting, the Grizzlies. Now, without Zach Randolph, they're going to have their problems. They go into Los Angeles, but the Lakers handle the Grizzlies. Lakers 90, Grizzlies 82. Lakers now 6-4 after that slow start. Kobe 26 points, 9 assists. Bynum 15 points, 15 rebounds. He's what they were obviously missing the first 4 games. Gasol, 13 points, 15 rebounds. The Lakers are lining up to make another run. You know, Blake is starting to play a little more. Fisher, 24 minutes. Blake, 23 minutes. Fisher doesn't score. He does get 5 assists. Blake goes 3-for-6 from 3, has 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He's a pretty good player, Steve Blake from Maryland. But the Lakers beat the Grizzlies 90-82. Just a few other scores quickly. The Timberwolves beat the Wizards 93-72. Wizards 0-8. Kevin Love, what can you say? 20 points, 16 rebounds. He's unbelievable. Ricky Rubio off the bench, 14 assists. Trailblazers, who I like a lot, beat the Cavaliers 98-78. LaMarcus Aldridge, 28 points. They've got a good squad, Portland. Keep an eye out for them. The Suns beat the Bucks 109-93. Gortat, who used to be Dwight Howard's backup, has really come into his own. He leads the Suns with 18. Nash has 17 assists. Suns 109, Bucks 93. That's it for all the NBA games last night. The big news, again, Dwight Howard wants to be traded still. A few games in the NHL as well. The main game, I thought, Detroit goes into Chicago to play the Blackhawks. Comes out with another win, Detroit 3, Chicago 2. Chicago actually takes a two-goal lead. Patrick Sharp scores his 20th of the year. But Detroit storms back with 3 unanswered. And Pavel Datsyuk scores the winner in overtime. 3:08 into overtime. Datsyuk gets his 13th of the year from Eriksson and Franzen. Detroit 3, Chicago 2 again. Now Chicago gets a point. You know how those rules are now. That's why when you see point totals and records even, hard to compare to the old days when you just had ties. But Detroit gets 2 points. They beat Chicago 3-2. Chicago does get a point. A couple of other games yesterday. Ottawa Senators beat the Flyers 6-4. Alfredson scores his 14th of the year for Ottawa. For the Flyers, Reed scores his 13th of the year, but Ottawa 6-4 over the Flyers. And one other game, the Anaheim Ducks beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 7-4. Teemu Selanne scores his 13th and 14th for Anaheim. Perry scores his 16th, 17th, and 18th, the hat trick for Anaheim. Rick Nash with 2 goals for the Blue Jackets is 13th and 14th. But the news out of Columbus is today, this morning, they fire their coach, Scott Arniel, and they put in assistant coach Todd Richards, who was named the interim coach, which is interesting. Richards just joined Columbus in June of this year. He had been the coach for a couple of years of the Minnesota Wild. But now he replaces Scott Arniel. Again, Columbus last in their conference. So I think he was hoping for more time to turn things around. He didn't get it. Columbus has been bad the last 10 games or so. I think they have 2 wins in their last 10 games. So Columbus loses to Anaheim and fires their coach this morning, putting in assistant coach Todd Richards, formerly of the Minnesota Wild. He's the interim head coach right now. Hall of Fame will be announced today. There's some belief that nobody will get in, which personally I think isn't a bad thing. We've talked about this before. Too many borderline guys get in, although Barry Larkin does have a chance. He got 62% of the vote last year. He has to get 75% of the vote against. I think Larkin is an excellent player. Is he really a Hall of Famer? Well, you know, good guy, good stats, MVP once. Needs to jump from 62 to 75, it happens. Ryan Sandberg did it. Tony Perez did it. But I'm on the fence now with Barry Larkin as a Hall of Famer, and I think I go with that rule. If you have to think about it, then to me he's not really a Hall of Famer. But Barry Larkin has a chance to get in. We'll see. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But a lot of people think nobody is going to get in this year to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Again, I think there are too many members in all these Halls of Fame. We've talked about it before. I've written articles about it. They should just pick one guy every year maximum. And if baseball had done that in 1939, then you'd have, you know, 75 guys in the Hall of Fame or whatever it is. There'd never be a question, should he be in the Hall of Fame? But whatever, we'll see what happens tonight. Your TV tonight, of course, the big, big thing, LSU against Alabama, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN nationally. Game probably won't start right at 8:30, although it should. Basketball, if you get MSG, the Bobcats are at the Knicks. If you get the YES Network nationwide, the Hawks are at the Nets. One college basketball game, West Virginia at UConn, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. But all eyes will be on LSU against Alabama tonight, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.